Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss, and today's guest is an old friend of mine, Emma Gray. She is a senior reporter at HuffPost. She is the author of A Girl's Guide to Joining the Resistance, and she is the co-host of Here to Make Friends, which is a podcast about The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, Bachelor Nation. Emma, hi, welcome.
This is such a treat. I'm so excited. I just feel that we've been trying to do this for a long time.
I know. So. And I'm so excited that we made this work because now we are in the throes of a new Bachelor season. Matt James, right?
Yes.
So oh, yes. I am. So you and Claire Fallon have been hosting Here to Make Friends. I think you're an Acast podcast too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, me too. So it's Matt James season. I thought we weren't even done with Tayshia slash Claire slash Dale slash whoever season. And now all of a sudden we're on a Bachelor. It's Matt James's turn. I joined because I was like, you know, what else do I have going on? A Bachelor league this year, but I haven't watched any of the episodes. So I am not surprisingly in last place in my league because I'm going off of no information.
You should have called me.
I know. Maybe you can help. So I have to, right after we record this episode, I have to submit my pick. So maybe you can help me kind of get to the top. Actually, that's a really great idea. We will do that on the show. The only thing I know about this season is that Ileana went to my high school, and that's it. That's all I got.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. I think she's gone now.
She's gone now. I think she's a lot younger than me too. Obviously, because
it's really sobering to be in your 30s and mm-hmm. still watching this show and being like, oh, I've aged out.
We aged out like 6 or 7 years ago. Like
there is one 32-year-old on this season.
Great. That's great. And Claire
this
was
is
like
my new thing. I just root for the 30 somethings.
I think that's the way to go. I mean, you know, it's so annoying to hear 23-year-olds be like, I just been looking for love for so long. I don't know.
You're try 23. Being single in New York for 10 years and
seriously.
Get back to me.
Right. Like, also, like, you're 23. The whole point is that you're supposed to be not dating anyone. And I honestly, like, you know, these are the same things that I felt when I was 23. And life can only be lived forwards and hindsight's 2020 or whatever. But when every time I hear like a person who's just out of college being like, I've been searching forever and I can't find him. I'm like, forever? Like you, like they wouldn't even let you into the bar, you know, like a year and a half ago. Like you have time. Like we all have time. Like, you know, I mean, the show, like old maids, anyone over 28. But like, it's crazy that all these women, but I guess that is the nature of The Bachelor, right? It's like all these people who are like, I want to get married and I want to have kids.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely attracts that, you know, it's literally a show about like hetero marriage for the most part, white marriage until very recently.
Yeah.
When they've started diversifying the cast. So yeah, it's probably going to, you know, attract a certain type of person largely, but I mean, man, like, hey, being single in your 30s is fine. Being single later is fine. And like,
yeah, totally.
That's why I personally loved Claire and Tayshia's season. And Matt James is just like a real kind of return to Bachelor basics in some sense. And I'm like, can we go back to like the sweet dudes in their 30s bonding with each other and talking about police brutality and like, I'm tired already and we're only a few weeks.
I was going to ask you, I know I'm not super familiar, like I'm a tangential sort of Bachelor fan where I feel like I just get all of my information via osmosis. Like it's hard to like, I can, you know, you can kind of see what's happening just by existing in the world and being on Twitter or whatever. But like, I know the big thing about Matt James is like it became very Christian this season. Like there was a prayer and there's this. Do you feel like there's a reason? Like, do you feel like they're trying to balance out like, well, we're introducing like a more diverse cast, but like, don't worry, still very Christian. Like, do you feel like that there's some intention behind that?
I kind of do. Mm-hmm. And I've definitely like some people have pushed back on this, but that's just like my opinion because we have had a lot of very Christian leads before. Again, this show often does attract people who are, you know, people of faith, specifically the Christian faith, specifically like evangelical Christianity. Right. And even with, you know, leads like Sean Lowe, who was like the self-professed born again virgin, you know, finding a woman who shared his faith was extremely important.
And he married Catherine?
And what?
He married Catherine?
Yes, he married Catherine. Okay. And in his book, he talks about the fact that he actually like had off camera time with her, in which before he proposed, he went to her and was like, just to be clear, like, I know you're not super religious right now, but like, are you down with this being a big part of our lives if we were to be together? And she said yes. So like, none of that was shown on the show. They never showed him praying. And so I was struck by the fact that Matt James, who is the first Black Bachelor, they sort of led with that. And, you know, I've been very clear on this. Like, there's no problem. I think it's great to be upfront. If religion is a thing that is important to you and is a deal breaker and is a thing that, like, is a big part of your life, then talk about it. It makes sense. But,
right,
you know, this is a TV show with millions of viewers and it feels a little bit like, there was a part of me that was like, are you trying to tell a certain segment of white viewers that like this Black man is safe?
Yes.
Right. I mean, look, we live in a racist country. Mm-hmm. We live in a country founded on white supremacy. So, you know, these are the kind of things that you're going to come up against.
Right.
I think it's a question of like how, you know, for a political campaign, it's also like a different calculation than, you know, a cultural product that is so entrenched. Like, I don't think that The Bachelor is in like any danger of going off the air.
Right.
And so I think it belies sort of like a desperation to keep all audience segments happy, even their racist audience.
Well, yeah. And that's so weird. And you have to, and you know this better than anybody, but like, this is a show that has been on the air for so long. Like these producers,
almost 20 years.
Like nothing is by chance. Nothing is not calculated or produced. Like, I think watching that, you have to wonder like, okay, well, you knew, you know, if you were like, yeah, let's do a prayer, there had to be a meeting about it. There had to be some reasoning behind it. And I just wonder what those conversations were, because I can only guess. So there was something about,
exactly.
The religion obviously doesn't bother me, but it is it's the like showcasing it against this,
right,
the first Black Bachelor that makes me feel like it's a little too coincidental not to be like produced that way.
Right. And he also has given interviews where he said, you know, religion isn't a deal breaker for
right.
me. So
right.
then it's interesting for someone who, you know, dates in New York, says that, you know, said on camera, he doesn't usually lead with religion.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like that was in some way calculated. And I hope that he felt great about it. And clearly a lot of the women responded to it, and that's
right.
great. But again, I think like people often feel like, oh, is this an attack on like Matt or Matt's faith? And my question, I think the criticism that we're kind of getting at is more a question for the show and the show's structure
oh,
and
yeah,
the show's
no.
production.
Nothing against
Not
Matt
for him.
At all. So you live in Brooklyn. You live
in
Brooklyn. You own your place. I know that. And that was something you did a couple years ago.
Yeah, 2018. If I had known that I was going to be forced to be in this tiny apartment 24 hours a day, and that it was also going to be my gym and office, right, I might have made different decisions, but you know, whatever.
You know what?
It is what it is. But yes, I love my apartment.
And you've been able to really
tiny
make it your own. I watch your decor journey on Instagram. I love it. It's beautiful. I love it. It is so foreign to me to live in a place where you own it and thus can like make structural changes to a living area. Don't know what that's like. That's very cool. Did you change anything crazy during quarantine? Like, did you give yourself any big house projects during the pandemic?
Oh yeah, I just keep changing things.
Tell
us
about it.
Nothing that requires like, you know, so much labor because I have my limitations, mm-hmm. but I learned how to wire a new light fixture into the wall in my bathroom, which I had never done, felt super accomplished. Actually, this past week, I got inspired and I repainted, like did some color blocking in my living room and got a shelving unit off of Etsy for the wall and like drilled and put it together.
So you've been doing some home projects. You mentioned that your apartment is now also your gym. What's your workout du jour de pandemic?
Again, I need just small space workouts. So, you know, I couldn't get on the Peloton train. It just like would take up too much space, which was made me personally sad. But I've been really leaning into Zoom bar classes with like Bar Method and Extend Bar, because I can use like my kitchen counter as a bar.
Yeah.
And just stay on my mat pretty much the whole time. And then I also have gotten very into The Class by Taryn Toomey.
What's that?
Okay. It is like one of those, it's technically a quote cathartic movement class or like creative movement class. Mm-hmm. It's essentially one of those absurd like Tribeca things that got cool like years ago. And this woman, Taryn Toomey, founded it. And you basically like do cardio and strength training. And there's like a little burpee section, but also there's a lot of like jumping around in your living room and kind of like reconnecting with your inner child. It's
nice.
I love it.
Cool.
I really love it. It's a really good way to like get out the quarantine boredom zoomies. Mm-hmm. And if I'm alone in my apartment, like they encourage you to make sounds. So I'll just like yell. I'm sure my neighbors are worried about me.
I'm sure they get it.
Once in a while.
I'm sure they get it. Sure they understand.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's super fun.
I want the confidence to start a workout movement and just call it The Class. Like that.
Oh, I know.
Like,
imagine.
Oh, okay. The Class.
It's like, it's like HBO calling girls, girls.
Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. Which, by
Shoot
the way,
your shot.
I have been rewatching. We can get to that. Okay. So you've been doing, I got to tell you, I can't speak for it myself because I don't own it. But my friend, Rachel Wilkerson Miller, who you might know, bought a folding bike. And it can tuck into a very small place and it has an iPad attachment. So you can technically.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, like you could technically take a Peloton class. It wouldn't record your, you know,
because sure.
It's, but you could, I mean, if you were into cycling, it's very compact. She posted a picture of the other day and I'll get you a link, but like it's one of those, like, you know, it's probably between $250 and $400 and it's probably a huge pain in the ass to set up, but it can like go under a couch and then you can just like roll it out.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Cause I have done a couple outdoor soul cycle classes, mm-hmm. but like now it's 25 degrees here.
Yes.
So
yes, correct.
It's just not working.
Not really. Yeah. There's no amount of warming up that would be able to save yeah. you in that situation. Okay. I need to look up The Class. That sounds very LA. Everything in LA is very much like that. Though.
Oh
I
yeah.
Know
I mean,
experience.
I know it's like surprising that it started in New York, but there's definitely an LA contingent. And the best thing about The Class in pandemic is that it's like a Roku app and
oh.
they stream live classes basically every hour.
Oh, cool. I have a Roku.
I need an urgency. I need someone to be like, this is happening right now.
Yeah. So I got the SoulCycle bike because I love SoulCycle, and I didn't get a Peloton because I was like, I don't know that I'm going to love it. You know, even though it's the one that everyone has, I got the bike, the same bike that not everyone has, because I was like, at least I know I love this workout. And I got it probably 4 or 5 months ago. I really like it. I use it all the time. But what I am missing is the, okay, lights off, shut the door. If you leave, it's so embarrassing for you. One time I did leave a SoulCycle class in New York, and Madison Malone Kircher can attest to this. I think she was there. I blew my back out doing some psychotic, you know, push up on the bike, and I like just left. And it was one of those things where it's like a nerve just, you know, hits, and then you're like, I gotta. So I could barely walk, but they make you fill out, like, if you leave, they make you fill out all these forms that are like, you will not sue us. Like, you, if this, you know, if you get like a, if, right. If you, and I was like, I will sign anything. Like, please let me leave. Like, I want to go home.
You're like, the shame is worse than the injury. Yeah, exactly. I just want to, like, you know, crawl in a hole. Right.
I'm in so much pain. Stop giving me forms.
I had to do that. That happened to me one time. I don't know if you've ever been to Y7, but it's like in the dark, like
hip hop yoga.
Hip hop yoga. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One time, a girl literally kicked me with the back of her heel directly in the eye. And I was like, fully like got a black eye from it and was seeing stars. And they were like, can you fill out this form that says you won't sue us? Yes. And I was like, I now know what it's like to be punched in the face. Right. Can you let me leave?
Yeah. The bedside manner of the boutique fitness industry needs an overhaul. I've never been in that much pain in my life. You literally got kicked in the face, and it's never like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Like, can we get you an ice pack? Do you want like a bottle of water? It's like, please do not sue us. This form is binding for you not to do that. Also, we won't let you go shower until this is signed. So we'll hold you here hostage until you sign this form. But I really miss someone in the room being like, class is starting and you're here for 45 minutes, so let's go. Because I will say, the first to admit it, there are some days I get on the SoulCycle and halfway through the class, I'm like, bye. Like, I just pop off and call it a day. Don't want to
finish.
In the
middle of a bar class and be like, I guess I can pause to get a cup of coffee. Right. It's where I check my Instagram.
Watch
like
some TV. Totally.
Yeah, exactly.
I miss group workouts so much. So, Emma, I am so excited to hear what you brought. I know that we are now almost a year into this, and everyone's shopping habits and everything, every routine is different. I found myself not shopping a ton in the first 6 or 7 weeks. And then it became about buying all these things to make my life more comfortable and happier. So I'm very interested in hearing what you brought to the show. So lay it on me.
Okay. Yeah. I felt a lot of pressure about this item. I was like, don't want to be too basic. I want something that's useful at a good price point. I was like, so I actually went back through and like searched what I had bought in the last few months.
Nice.
And I went with my Power Licks Pro Milk Frother.
Wow.
This is something that I had been, so I have a stupidly overpriced but adorable Smeg coffee maker that my mother. Yeah, my mother bought it for me as a housewarming gift.
So nice. Like
the nicest gift ever. I know, so sweet. And I had been eyeing the matching Smeg milk frother for like more than a year. Mm-hmm. But it's stupid. It's like $200.
No.
Yes.
You're kidding me.
I was like, this is so dumb. I mean, all of the Smeg products are really overpriced, but I think like a milk frother especially, like,
what is it, like a vibrator? Like what else does
it do? I don't know. I mean, right. It should get you off at that that price point. I think a good vibrator is cheaper than $200. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I finally was like, but I really want to make my coffee that I make at home feel just fancier and more fun. So I did some research, and this little handheld guy has amazing reviews, is on all these lists for like best milk frothers. And it was like $20. I you know,
that feels
paid
like
a few
right
dollars
price.
Extra. Yeah. I paid a few dollars extra to get the like little stainless steel, like milk pourer.
But it's not $200.
It's not $200. It's very compact, which is great for my apartment.
Is it battery operated? Do you charge it? Like what?
Battery operated.
Okay.
So that was like the biggest challenge of it.
I'm Googling it right now.
I was like, oh, I have to have batteries.
Right.
Yeah. And you can get it on Amazon. You can buy it through the Powerlix website. And the key for me is that it froths non-dairy milk really well because I use like oat and cashew milk.
Smart. Yeah. Look at that. Yeah. Okay. So I'm looking at it right now. It's under $20. It has 43,000 reviews with an average of 4.5 stars out of 5. It's on sale right now for $17. It comes in all these cute colors. You got it in black, chic.
Yeah, I got it in black. I was like, I felt like some of the other colors sort of made it look a little cheaper, you know, with like some products that happens when you get like a color that feels like too bright, but it's not, it no longer looks sleek. So I felt like this was, I went with the matte black.
I love that. Pleased. I'm looking at the Smeg milk frother right now. Smeg is so cute. I mean, it's very 50s. It's very 60s. Kind of like all the colors are like powder blue.
Like, I love it.
But what does it do that makes it so expensive?
I mean, I guess, you know, the fancy milk frothers like steam and have all of these settings. But like, whatever, just put a little bit of milk in the microwave.
Yeah, and then save yourself $150.
Yeah.
So how do you use – so I'm not a big coffee drinker. So how do you use a milk frother? Like, where does it fall in your coffee routine? Walk us through.
Yeah. So what I do is I just – again, I have my Smeg coffee maker. So I just make like a big pot of drip coffee every morning. It's I like in pandemic times to have like a little bit of a routine. And so, you know, given that I – rarely change my clothes these days. just having like a little wake up routine is good.
Yeah.
So I make my coffee, and then while my coffee's brewing, I actually put a little bit of cold cashew milk on the bottom of my mug and I froth it for like, you know, 20 seconds. And then I pour the hot coffee on top of the frothed milk and the frothed milk sort of comes to the top. And I found that it mixed nicely that way, because when I did it, like pouring the foam on top, it actually, I would kind of like get a gulp of like
just
mostly milk off. And that's not what I wanted.
No.
So, no. You know, and I'll do it. Yeah. Either with either cold or hot milk. Again, I'm lazy. So usually I just like pour a little bit of cold non-dairy milk, froth it, and then I like feel super fancy.
Now tell me a little bit about why, I mean, if you, I don't know if you know like the science of milk, but is it kind of a known thing that like a non-dairy, I know that like a lot of oat milks don't mix very well and a lot of almond milks don't mix very well, but like is it a known thing that some frothers can't even handle, like they can't even don't work?
Well, from what I read, like, a lot of people were like, this one doesn't really froth non-dairy milk. And I'm sure it also depends what kind you have. Like some of the oat milks I've tried are like more watery. And so I do wonder, I haven't like done a full scientific test of different milks, but that would actually be a fun experiment to do. I'm like, I have nothing to do. I should buy a bunch of milks for my apartment just for me and my boyfriend.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm not going to tell you no. I'm going to tell you should do it.
Yeah, I'll do that and report back.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, but it's definitely like a bit of a known thing. And this one, very effective.
Interesting. I love that. So are you did you say you're lactose intolerant or you just like an oat milk?
No, I'm not. I just prefer I prefer a non-dairy milk for taste, and also just like, you know, as I've gotten into my 30s, that Ashkenazi Jewish stomach of mine has become less welcoming to dairy products.
I literally became lactose intolerant at like 27. Like all of a sudden, I could not handle a milkshake.
This is like an Eastern European Jewish thing. Like, yes, I think it is.
It is.
Where it's just like all of a sudden, I was like, I love ice cream. It's my favorite food.
Yeah.
So I don't like not do dairy, but I'll cut it where I can.
Yeah. That I usually, if I can get a good milk sub for the dairy I can't handle is like a pure milk or a pure ice cream. I can
exactly.
Cheese. That doesn't bother me.
Damn.
Like milk as an ingredient, something doesn't bother me, but like yeah, milk in my coffee. But like Lactaid needs like a new marketing. Like that doesn't, it doesn't sound appealing to me, but I understand that it's just milk without the lactose and that would help me greatly. But I will not do it because I think it same. Just sounds I just weird. Can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's maybe my own bridge that I need to cross. But like for some reason, I'm like, no, I'd rather be totally uncomfortable and drink regular milk. Thank you. I'd rather like, I don't know, like fart my brains out and be like, I guess this is just my life now. I don't like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh,
well. Yeah. So weird. There's nothing there's you can do about it. This is just one of those problems that cannot be solved.
There are no options. Everyone's like, you know, they make a specific milk for you. I'm like, couldn't be. Don't think so. I sound suspicious.
Yeah. Luckily I just happen to love the taste of all of the non-dairy milks. I have been using a cashew milk, which feels like very creamy. Cashew is sort of like the base that a lot of I think Van Leeuwen, most of their vegan ice creams are cashew based. So it feels nice and rich and it's a little bit sweet.
Have you started making your own cashew milk? Are you at that point of this?
No, I haven't gotten to that level of desperation or trad wife in this pandemic. But, you know, there's still a few months left in New York winter.
Start to make your own cheese. Truly.
Yeah. I'm going to start following all of the like very religious borderline QAnon trad wife influencers. And maybe I'll start like canning things.
I'm very close to that. I've been following a lot of Mormon mommy bloggers on Instagram. And I'm so like, just, it's amazing. The Mormon mommy bloggers are so perplexing to me. I cannot look away.
Oh my God, I need some new like stalkerish follows. So send me that list.
I mean, you know, the number one is Rachel Parcell. Do you follow Rachel Parcell and her whole entire family?
No, but I've like, she'll show up on my Explore. I like to just sort of keep a mental running list of people to check in on rather than like crowd my my follows. You know, I want my stalking to be like an intentional choice.
I feel like you should make a separate Instagram just for more.
My God.
Wouldn't that be a good idea?
Argument for a Finsta ever.
Yeah, actually, now that I said that out loud, I'm like, why don't I do that? Like, you should just have a place you go to just look at them, and then they don't have to infiltrate your feed. Because, like, every two seconds, one of them's like, oh my God, you guys, I found these, like, super cute leggings, and I'm wearing a size extra, 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 extra small, but they're really loose on me. And then I just feel bad the rest of the
day. These are probably sold via some sort of, like, MLM.
Yeah, right. I'm like, what am I buying if I buy these leggings? But it would be nice just to get a little bit of a high, you know, go over to your other Instagram account, get your little hit.
This is brilliant.
Everyone should do this.
I'm going to do that because I really like, I think I just need that. I need to go down, fully commit myself to going down the rabbit hole of ultra religious.
Yeah, but keep it separate.
Mommy bloggers.
Yeah.
But keep it separate. Yeah. I don't need like their products. And like, I don't need so much Jesus in my Explore page. Just like, again, nothing against him.
No, same.
But you know.
It's cool. Yeah. It's cool if you're into him. Separation of literal church and state for me.
Exactly.
Did you hear about the woman Turtle Creek Lane and her vibrator? And did you?
What?
Okay.
No.
So a couple of weeks ago, this Mormon. I don't think she's Mormon mommy blogger. She's in Texas. I just assume they're all Mormon, but I don't think she is. So that's mean of me. That's not correct of me. This Texas blogger. Instagrammer. I call them all bloggers, just like as a habit, you know, 2010 life. But she's an Instagrammer. She's like 700,000 followers. She's very like, I tell my friends that it's like ASMR to me, but she starts every day her Instagram stories by going, good morning, everyone. Take 5 seconds and submit something you're grateful for because happiness begins with gratitude. And she says it in that voice. And I like truly like, glaze over. Like I could listen to her say that on repeat every day, and it's a good thing because she does it every single day. But she is, you know, very blonde. Her teeth are blindingly white. You know, her kids are named the McTaylee and McCarty and all that. And a couple of weeks ago. I had never heard of her before. A couple weeks ago, she did her good morning, everyone. 2 to 5 seconds. But in the back of her video was her vibrator on her bedside table. And people like screen grabbed it. And we're like, oh, my God, like this is very she's very church. It's very religious. It's very, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. Well,
that makes me like her more.
Exactly. And she could have, and we talked about a little bit on the Instagram. She could have handled it so many different ways. And she just laughed. And it was so funny. She like she was like, oh, my God, my texts are blowing up. My husband's texts are blowing up. Like my assistant's texts are blowing up. And then at the end, she just laughed it off. And she was like, you know, what are you going to do? And at the end, she did a swipe up to her vibrator with an affiliate link. Wait, and I was like, respect. That is
brilliant SponCon. I'm here for that hustle.
I also love her.
Like, you know what? Yes. Women's yeah. sexual pleasure.
Get off.
Yeah.
I love that.
Nothing sinful, nothing shameful about that. Like, get yours.
I'm happy
everyone.
For her. Like in a lot, yes. I'm really happy for her, but I loved how she handled it. So it was like an immediate follow for me. But you, if you pun intended, come for that reason and you stay, you will not be let down because this woman has a massive house and every single room she decorates with whatever holiday is coming up. So it is her house right now is like a Valentine's Day aisle in CVS.
I need this.
Crazy. Like it's crazy.
Have you watched the Utah Netflix home makeover show?
No, I did not know it existed.
It's like the Studio McGee Dream Home Makeover.
Oh
it's
my
this
god.
Couple in Utah who are like super like cute and charming and like she's really blonde and I think they're Mormon. They don't talk about it on the show, but I'm pretty sure they are.
I assume everyone who lives in a big house and is white is Mormon. So
yeah, they're all, it's very white. Everything in the houses is very
neutral,
white,
mm-hmm.
both culturally and literal without pigment.
I love this quote. Whether our clients have $2 million or $20,000, I want them all to feel that sense of peace when they walk in the door. Okay. I have $20. Does this apply to me? Oh, like oh, if you only have 20,000.
Look, I did just learn that they actually have a collection with Target called Threshold, and I just ordered some very cute like
wait, that's them?
Yes.
Oh, I know all about Threshold. Oh my god, fun.
They're adorable. They're actually really cute. They're cute.
Oh, these are really cute.
Yeah, their stuff is and Threshold is great on yeah, I just bought some containers, some storage containers.
Whoa, I'm so into this. So the shameful thing about me is that I wish I was. You know what I mean? Like I look at all these women and I'm like, I want what she's having. I'll have what she's having. But wow, this is great. Okay, I'll watch that. Is it kind of what I fear about shows like this is like is every house like. And we painted your walls white and here's a gray couch. And we painted your walls white and here's a gray couch. And a gold accent coffee table.
To an extent, but it's like some of them are super crazy aspirational. And she does love like a lot of white and like – but like insane kitchen makeovers that are so fun.
Like Nancy Myers-y.
Like you're in a Nancy Myers movie. Okay. And then some smaller projects too. And in season two, because there's been two seasons of this show, you know, like they just filmed it all and then chopped it up.
Yeah.
They actually had a queer couple, which, you
huge.
Know, if you've ever watched Fixer Upper, which I think is like the closest kind of parallel to this, like it's just all of these home makeover shows. You're like, why is everyone's white? Everyone's straight. Everyone's married.
Everyone's
so I was
married
like,
and
yeah.
Everyone's like, my husband wants like a man cave.
Yeah. Oh God. Can we ban the term and concept of man caves?
And she sheds, please.
Oh, she shed is like even yes. That also just it doesn't roll off the tongue.
It doesn't. You know? The she shed. I want to ban the concept of it entirely, but I also want all women to have shed. Their own. Yeah, exactly. Right. I want my own she shed, but I also want it to have a better name, and I also don't want anyone to know. I just want my
you
house
what?
To be for me.
I think this all comes from the fact that we like tell romantic couples that they must like just merge into each other yeah. and that they're not allowed to have any sort of personal space. So you're like, if you have any space that is specifically tailored to you as an individual, we must call it by a gender normative name and right. we must like justify its use because
yes.
what a crazy thing that you might want some space of your own or what yeah. a crazy thing that you might not have exactly the same taste as this person that you just happen to be like romantically compatible with.
And also don't forget that your spouse can't be on board with this. Your spouse like has to roll their eyes
at right.
The notion of you getting your own space. Men and women, like have your own space.
Maybe you just want some like fucking alone time. You know? Am I allowed to curse?
Yes, you are. Yes. Okay, we're I have not gotten any pushback about that so far. I don't think anyone thinks we're like a family show, but yeah, sometimes right. you want some fucking alone time. I think also that there was an article. I mean, a lot of this has to do with wealth and like, can you afford a bigger space? Can you afford to have your own space? Yep. I get that. There was an article in the New York Times a really long time ago. I've tried to find it and since have not been able to. This was like when I was in middle school or high school, and it was about a couple. It might have been like a modern love, but it was about a couple that like had been married and had kids and. But kept their own apartments and they just like, it was like they were married, but they had their own place where if like Carrie and Big, but like more realistic, I guess. Like,
see, I find that to be aspirational.
Oh, no, like, same. That's what I want. Like, I read that yeah. and I was like, okay, how do I do that? Cause like that yeah. would be healthy to me.
I agree. I actually, there was like a whole book that, my friend Malika Rao, I think, reviewed for, I think, The Atlantic like a year or two ago. But it was about this idea of like sort of the history of how we as a culture decided that couples needed to share sleeping space and that that was like a sign of intimacy and the whole idea that like if you want any separation of space, then that must be like an indication that. Of a failing relationship or mm-hmm. or less of a romantic connection. It's like some people just have different like sleep patterns mm-hmm. or need more alone time to recharge or really enjoy decorating a space for themselves. Like there's lots of valid reasons that you might want space. And also like space can actually breed desire.
Totally.
I don't know. I think we've like done ourselves a disservice as a culture by allowing the space for those different configurations.
It can literally be anything you want as long as both you and right. your partner agree that it's good for both of you and everyone exactly. feels fulfilled. Like it literally doesn't matter.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I know plenty of people who like, you know, will use the bed for like reading together or sex or watching TV. And then one person like will go sleep on the couch or one person goes and sleeps in the guest room just because like someone likes to listen to music to go to bed and someone needs full quiet and someone wakes up at 4 a.m. and someone likes to sleep a little. And like if you're if you do all of your stuff and then you're unconscious, like it doesn't matter where, like I don't feel closer to Dan being knocked out next to him.
Physically asleep.
I literally only know he's there if one of us like punches the other one like in our sleep. So it would make sense to me that if you agree as a
right.
couple.
If you agree and obviously if you have the resources and you have like the physical right. space available.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah. Like why isn't that more of a consideration? I mean, honestly, that would also be like my boyfriend's dream scenario because he's just like an intense introvert who has very specific
totally
demands with like the bed sheets
yes.
and sleeping whereas like
yeah
I don't, so you know I think
sounds like he and Dan yeah. could share a bed happily. There's yeah, a lot
exactly.
a lot of,
they can
a lot
share
of preferences
bed. We can go share a bed right. in our communal she shed.
It'll be great. I'll go sleep in my yeah. she shed. You can hang out on my SoulCycle bike. It'll be perfect. I totally agree in that. It's so funny to me. Not funny. It makes me sad that there are so many like weird things from culture and from like you know, shows and movies and stuff that even as like full grown adults, you start to think like, oh, like what's normal, or like, is this is what I'm doing not normal? And I also think that the last year has been super, like, it's been really testing a lot of people, especially couples, because this is not, no one signs up for this much togetherness.
You're not supposed to be around any set of people or one human all the time. You're also not meant to be isolated from people all of the time. And so the fact that both of those things, depending on what your, you know, living configuration is, are amplified, it's just like really shitty for everyone.
It's hard. Yeah. And it has nothing to do with like, oh, you don't, it's not that you don't not love this person. You need to just go have a different, like some other experiences.
Right. And also like, I mean, I think you're similar to me in that you're like a social person. You have a lot of friends outside of your partner. I think you also like, didn't you spend like a good amount of years, you know, single?
Yep.
And like built a complete life for yourself. Yeah. Like, I think it is not a weird thing to be like, I get different things from different people, and my romantic partner does not fulfill every, you know, single social need I have. Like, I'm an extrovert.
Right.
I really value having like a variety of people around me and in my life, and I get energy from that. And I also like really love my partner.
Yeah. And it can be both.
Can be true. Yeah.
Right. And then part of what I like about my marriage is that, and part of it, what I think brought us together in the first place, was that we both really are independent people and we like doing different things. Like, we have lots in common. There's tons of stuff we don't have in common. And it's really weird to be like, oh my God, we can't. It's, I either can do things with Dan or I do things by myself. Like, I can't, like, it, you know, before this, it was like, oh, you have a buddy who you do this with, or you have a friend who you go to this basketball game with, and then I don't have to go with you. And then we, you know, and then you come back together and you're like, tell me about what you did today. Tell me about this thing. And, but now it's like, oh yeah, what'd you do today? Oh no, I just stared at you the entire time. Like, we just looked at each other. Like,
in a pandemic, especially given, you know, we're in the midst of a pandemic with an airborne illness, like everything that you do also does directly impact, you know, your partner if you share a space with them.
It's
so
crazy.
That also like adds such an extra level of stress of like, you know, if my social needs are different, the risks, you know, the light risks that I am willing to take might be different. Right. And like, that's just another level of conversation. Like, I never used to be like, I really need to disclose to my boyfriend that I would like to go have outdoor dinner with someone. You know, like, that is not
so
like
weird.
That needed to be negotiated before.
Right.
And now it does. So
if you're at the end of the day, if you're like, I want to just sleep on the couch to get a minute, it has nothing. Your marriage, your relationship is not failing. I just want to let everyone know that how normal that is. Sometimes it's just a change of scenery. I slept on the couch the other night and I was like, whoa. Like, I woke up and I was like, where am I? I'm crazy.
Caroline, I fully just like randomly will sleep on the couch just because I'm like,
something
I
else.
Can.
Somewhere
it's
else.
It's a different thing to do. Right. Like,
the standards for activity are low.
There was actually a week that my boyfriend was staying with me that whole week. And I slept on the couch like a couple nights in a row, just like accidentally, like we were watching TV. I actually think it was election week. So we were like up really late watching the news, waiting for stuff to come in. And after a couple days in a row, it happened. He was like, should I be concerned? Right. And I was like, oh my God, no. It's just like, I genuinely like took an edible and fell asleep on the couch. Like,
just like something new. Yeah, no problem. Yeah. I know it's real. It's very, very true. I mean, also if only just to have that conversation in the morning over coffee, just to talk about how the couch felt to sleep on, just something new to talk about. Just like, I'll tell you, I experienced something you didn't. Let me tell you about how the couch is. Right. Yeah, it's super normal. It's a weird time and everyone's just in survival mode. So like, I don't know if you are looking for that kind of reassurance, take it from us, because I know that there have been times in the last year where I've been looking for that reassurance too. And it's nice to hear people say like, oh yeah, no, like sometimes, I mean, even there, sometimes we eat totally separately or like at different times. And like one of us is watching something the other one doesn't want to watch. And you just kind of have to be like, this kind of solitary activity only feels weird because in a normal world where this would be the night where I'm going out to dinner with my friends, or this would be the night that you're going over to watch a game at someone's house, like it now has to be replaced with like getting our kind of like me time in. And it only feels weird because like he's doing it like 6 feet away from me.
Right.
But it's normal. And I look forward to having different experiences that I can talk. You know, there's not much to talk about right now. Like, we're really running in circles over here. Emma, I'm from milk frothers to relationships. Before we tap out on this episode, I need you to help me with my Bachelor Fantasy League.
Sure. Of course. Okay. I'm at your service.
I'm currently ranking 10th out of 10. And that is because okay. I think I'm not watching. I'm definitely not watching the show right now. And I'm just guessing. So I need you to help me at least. I'm only 1 point behind the person who is number 9.
And okay, I think we can do this.
Okay.
What? Okay. I forgive me. I've never been in a Bachelor League. Yes. Like, what do we need to be guessing?
So basically, we are picking right now. I'm in the league right now. Okay, I'm 10th. Let's see my picks. Today is Monday, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there an episode tonight? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah, there is.
Okay. Cool. So I have to make my picks for. Rose Ceremony 4. So basically, this is what is called a Rose to Rose League. And I choose out of all of the women who gets a rose in each Rose Ceremony. So right now, there are, let's see, 1, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 women. And 12 of them are going to get a rose tonight, I believe. Does that sound right?
Okay. Yeah, that does sound right.
I don't even know. I joined a league and then didn't even watch the show. So here's who's left.
A lot of women whose names I'm still
okay.
Learning.
You're learning. So Abigail, Anna, Bree, Chelsea, Jasenia, Kaylee, Katie, Kyla, Kit, Lauren, MJ, Maggie, Mari, Piper, Rachel, Serena C, Serena P, and Victoria. Now, here's what I know from osmosis. Victoria is the villain this season.
Yes.
So I'm going to pick her because they're not going to get rid of good TV.
Yeah, I think she's got another at least week left in her.
Okay. Based on who I like.
Can I give you some names of who I definitely think like are not going home?
Yes.
Okay. Bree.
You think Bree will get a rose tonight?
Definitely getting a rose.
Okay. Okay.
I think I'm trying to. Okay, I need to like a list of all of the
their jobs. I know. I don't know anything.
Women.
I think I know.
I
that,
think Serena P. also definitely.
Yeah.
Not going home.
Okay.
Rachel.
Rachel's
definitely
staying.
Not.
Okay.
Yeah, Rachel's definitely staying. I feel like. Mari has another week or two
okay.
in her.
Picking her.
So I don't think I'm like trying to
no, that's,
figure out.
So what about Abigail? Do we like Abigail?
Oh, she's yeah. Okay, definitely she's gonna stay. Longer.
What about I'm going through like who I'm drawn to clicking.
Yeah. Go through
what
say
about
names.
Katie. That's see, like, that makes me feel like she's not gonna get very far. Let me look her up, Katie. Matt James. Katie from The Bachelor. Job, Instagram, and everything you need to know.
Oh, Katie. No, she's... No,
oh,
no, no.
She
Katie's
went viral
great.
On TikTok right. for pooping herself.
Right, I know who Katie is. Oh, my God. It's so hard for me without... when I'm not in Bachelor mode. Yeah, I love... Actually, I love Katie. She's one of my faves.
Well, that's the first thing that came up. Okay, I'm picking her base.
Oh, my God.
He better marry her. That's... I'm.
No, she's awesome.
Team
she's
Katie.
The vibrator, like, sex-positive girl.
Amazing. We need more of that.
Like... Yeah, definitely liberal. So I'm into her.
Okay, cool.
She's got another couple weeks. She's not going to be final four, but.
What about Kit? Kit is someone famous.
Kit's got another week. Okay. Kit, I think, has another week.
And who? And Kit is
Cynthia Raleigh's daughter.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Cynthia Raleigh's. Okay. Kit has another week. Okay. That leaves us with how many more do we have to pick? So we have 4 more spots left. And here's who's left.
So. Oh, is this league accounting for the fact that new women are coming in tonight?
I don't believe it is. So it's okay. basically like it's try to get as many roses. It basically is just like you get a point for every rose you get correct.
Okay.
So
okay.
It doesn't matter that.
More people are coming
because like there's only, so I guess I'm making this, I think I'm making this up, but I think this is how it goes. So if there's 12 roses and we all pick which 12 women we think are going to get a rose, like everyone has the same, because no one knows about the other women and because we don't have a chance to pick them, everyone has the same odds. So it's like,
true.
We have 12 chances to get 8 correct. So,
okay. Yeah.
And I'm just trying to get 2 points ahead of the person in front of me without having to watch the show. So we have,
okay, I think you get it.
We have Anna left. We have Chelsea left. We have Jesenia and Kaylee. We have Kayla.
I think Kayla, K-H-A-Y-L-A. Yeah, she's going to get a rose, I think.
Okay, Kayla, so 3 spots left. There's MJ, looks like a little bit of a free spirit.
Yeah, there's MJ.
Do we think she's going to stay?
I don't know.
Okay, Maggie.
She's going to go home in the next. Maggie, I'm obsessed with, but she's gotten like basically no screen time. She's the 32-year-old who's like an Ethiopian immigrant and a model / pharmacist.
I'm picking her just because I want that to be.
I know. My wish fulfulfillment is that she gets like some screen time and gets another week.
What about Serena?
Oh, I think Lauren. I think Lauren's going to stay.
Okay, that leaves one spot open. Anna, Chelsea, Jesenia, Kaylee, MJ, Piper, and Serena C. Out of those, who do you think is going to stay? I really,
MJ.
You think MJ?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have picked.
This could be totally wrong.
No, it's fine because I have no preconceived anything going into this. All I want to do is just not come in last. And I feel like it's probably a cheat to ask the person who hosts the Bachelor podcast to help me, but it's fine. No rules. So we have Victoria, Bree, Rachel, Serena P, Mari, Abigail, Katie, Kit, Kayla, Maggie, Lauren, and MJ. That is Rose Ceremony 4. Anybody you want to swap out? Anything before I save my picks?
No, you know, I feel pretty good about it.
All right, I am saving my picks. I'm locked in for tonight's episode. I will know by the time this episode airs, your episode and my episode of G-Thanks airs, how I'm faring. Okay, you guys, I'm going to link to the milk frother. I'm going to link to all the stuff that we talked about. The Turtle Creek Lane Instagram lady who showed her vibrator, which I'm excited about. And also you guys can watch her Instagram story where she goes, "Hey, everyone, good morning. Take 5 seconds. Submit something you're grateful for because happiness begins with gratitude." It is my favorite thing on earth. When you hear it, you will know how good my impression of her is. Most importantly, when Emma's episode airs, as you are hearing this, go to the G-Thanks Spotterhot Instagram. I am going to put out a question box in stories, and I want you to submit your favorite Instagram follow that you can only take in small doses, because I want all of us to create Finsta accounts where we just follow the Mormon mommy bloggers and like the crazy kind of like MLM fitness girls. And I want there to be a list of people I can start my account with. So I want everyone to throw a name in the ring. I'm going to tell Emma so she can start her account. And then we'll all be able to do it all together and be able to sort of, I don't know, like when you press the button to get the morphine drip at the hospital, it'll be like that. We won't OD.
Maybe if I have this Instagram account for my, you know, dopamine hit, I won't obsessively online shop as much.
Who can say?
You can say.
I honestly, if that's a goal that you have, I back that. For me, I think I'm too far gone. I don't think any fake Instagram or private Instagram or secret Instagram is going to save me now. But
I mean, more likely, I'll just keep online shopping and also fritter away hours following mommy bloggers.
Don't worry, guys. These leggings are super, super cute. They're like so fun and they have such a cute detail. And these are extra, 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 extra small. They're like super loose. Like they're really big on me. Okay, that was a really fun episode. If you are not listening to Here to Make Friends, the podcast, Emma and Claire are so wonderful. You do not have to be a fan of The Bachelor to listen. It's just like a fun kind of like part of the culture. I love listening, even though I can't watch the show for more than 15 minutes. But also I follow Emma on Twitter and I get some of the live tweets, and I literally, that's how I know what's going on the show without having to turn it on. Emma, thank you so, so much for coming to G-Thanks Just Bought It.
Oh my gosh, this was such a treat. Thank you so much for having me on.
So fun, super cute. Okay, you guys, everyone, we will see you next week for another episode, and we'll see you on Instagram for your favorite mommy